go with me to the first book of Samuel, and I'm going to read to you how something was birthed, something began, something was started that had to do with one of the mightiest men of God in the Old Testament called Samuel, who was really a mighty, mighty man of God, very significant person in the Bible. But how his life got started is founded here in the first chapter of the first book of Samuel. Hallelujah. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Suf, in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Suf, son of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days of Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the time Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? In verse 9, once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he had been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think that I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. And then in the 19th verse, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned to the home, Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." Amen. 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 There's few principles that I want you to see here. Although this is in the Old Testament, there's few principles that you can take advantage of and apply to your life in the New Testament and New Covenant life and the New Testament believer's life that will help you. Number one is, then, if we can put it up on the screen, I'd like you to put up James 5 and 16. James 5 and 16. The English translation, I believe it's Amplified, says there in the latter part of that verse that the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man availeth much. the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, when you pray earnestly, it's not just a routine. It's not just the evening prayer that you were taught. It's not a repetition that the Word of God instructs against, that we just repeat prayers because of the situation, whatever is happening. But it is a deep desire from God and towards God to see the things of heaven come, that hunger that we were talking about, that there is a passion in your prayer that you want to see things come to pass. So you pray from that place, and that's going to work. Here, Hannah, I mean, think about her situation. She had been mocked. She had been ridiculed. She had been put down year after year. She was in the same situation, and that birthed a deep anguish and desire in her that I'm going to go to the Lord and I'm going to get the answer for what I'm praying for. I need to get this answer. I'm not just complacent. I'm not blasé about it. I'm not passive about it. I'm coming with a prayer from the uttermost parts of my heart to bring this thing before the Lord, because I need an answer. Amen. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That previous song that we just heard, it's about the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us, the blood of Jesus that has brought us forgiveness of sins, that blood of Jesus that has made us new, that blood of Jesus that has restored our life. So our righteousness is based on the work of the Lord, so we can boldly come. But that prayer has to be effectual. It has to be heartfelt. It has to be fervent. Amen. There's certain moments in my life where I prayed some fervent prayers, where you just, it comes from deep within your heart that you're praying. So I'm giving you some things that'll help you as you're praying these 3 weeks, that you're not just going through a schedule or a ritual or a tradition that has no power, but you're coming with earnesty. Then another scripture that I'd like you to put up on the screen, the same way, is Matthew 6, 33. Matthew 6, 33. Because what Hannah did, he didn't just ask it for herself, but she linked her prayer to the advancement of God's kingdom. Can you see it? That it wasn't just something that she wanted, but she was willing to put the kingdom in it. She was willing to pray in a way that, hey, if you grant me this request, this child is going to belong to you. And think about it, this is one of the great men of God of the Old Testament. These 3 weeks, something can be birthed in you that is going to come out, that's going to be mighty. But when we came to the Lord, we've given our life to Him. We made Him the Lord of our life. That means you're no longer in charge. He is. Amen. So when you come with that attitude of the heart and you say, Lord, I'm not just asking this for myself, but I'm linking this with your kingdom, so that when you bring an answer to this, it is going to be a revolutionary. It's going to be a ground shaking. It's going to be a time altering thing in this generation. And those are the kinds of prayers. And it says there, is that, but you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Yeah. It was Hannah's desire to have a son. She was specific. She wanted to have a son. Amen. I want to have a child or something, but she wanted to have a son. And she told the Lord, Lord, I'll give him back to you. If you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And that son grew up in the temple. That son grew up, and then You'll find out later in the book of Samuel how Lord began to speak to him, and Lord raised him up to be a mighty man. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe something is going to be birthed in these weeks within the hearts of God's people that is going to come forth, that is going to be great, that is going to produce great results to the kingdom of heaven in Finland and in the nations of the world. As we align ourselves with God's kingdom, life's not all about you. Amen. And I believe you've gathered here under the title praying and fasting, so it probably means that you already are kind of in the same flow. You didn't come here for a motivational message, but just to remind you that when you link those things, you know, say, "Hey, I'm gonna have a new house." Why? I believe God wants to bless you with the new house, but why not say, "Lord, I'll open the house up for a home group. I'll open the house up for special guests that'll serve the kingdom of God. I'll open the house up." You know, don't just be, "Well, I get my house and nobody will come there. I'll keep it clean and I'll keep everybody else out." But you'll be willing to open it up so that people can be blessed. You know, "I haven't have a big car, but nobody's ever going to ride in it." Or, you know, whatever. Why not link some of these things to the kingdom of God? Amen. 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 Because the time to make the covenant with God is now. Yeah. Because when something drops on your lap, you'll come up with every excuse. Yeah. And then we won't see you anymore because those things will take. I don't want you to increase in a way that it would take you away from the presence of the Lord. There's a deceitfulness of riches. You got to establish, you got to confirm that covenant between you and God, and that you say that God is first, always in my life. Amen. So if you have no money, pray. If you have a lot of money, pray more. If you're in the middle, pray. Whatever is going on, just pray. Amen. And if there's multiplication, pray double. Can you say amen? Amen. And then finally, one more scripture I want to give you is from Mark 11:24. If you can put it up on the screen, Mark 11:24. Because if you notice, the attitude that Hannah had when she received the word, that was the word of the Lord from God, the word of God from the priest that says, "You've been granted the request." She got happy. Praise the Lord. Did she have a child at that point? Did she have a child? Was she pregnant? Was there any sign that she could be pregnant in the natural? But she got glad. She had been fasting before, but then she came to eat, and she just left. And it's like, praise God. From a place that she looked like a drunk because of the way she was behaving. She was crying. She was pouring out her heart before God. And the moment the word came, she was, praise the Lord. Give me a falafel. I don't know what they were eating at that time. And she was happy. Praise the Lord. I got what I asked for. So what does Bible say? "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Amen. She believed that she received them. Amen. And then, a year later, there it is, a son. What was impossible for a man is possible to God. Amen. 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 So if you come to the Lord with heartfelt prayers that you are earnestly seeking after the Lord, and then you're linking your requests to the kingdom of God, and then you're coming with faith. Faith, according to the word of God, let me read it to you. You can take it off the screen. Thank you for your help. in the book of Romans, chapter 4. Because many requests or many prayers become ineffective because of lack of understanding on the subject of faith. Romans 4:21 says, he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. God is able to do what he promises. So when you hear the word of the Lord, when that word comes alive to you, it's the same to you as you would have the thing tangibly in your hands, because you've received it and it's done. Amen. You say, how long does it take between that time and what you have it in your hands? I don't really care. I don't spend any time thinking about it. I just keep thanking the Lord for it, and I keep my confession right. The confession is what the word says. Can you say amen? Amen. I believe, come on, lift your hands to heaven. I believe these 3 weeks are going to be a time when things are going to be moving. And requests are going to be granted. Some things are going to be birthed in your spirit that are going to produce great things. Hallelujah. No ear has heard, no eye has seen. Hallelujah. The things that the Lord has prepared for us. We're just putting ourselves in a place that, Lord, I am a willing participant of your blessing. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to be so busy with the things of this earth that I would miss what you have for me. Lord, if you're looking for someone, Lord, there's one right here who's open, who's willing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 10, there was a man called Cornelius who had drawn God's attention by giving and by prayers. Hallelujah. And that rose like a sweet fragrance before God. And when he needed somebody, he knew where to find Cornelius. Hallelujah. I believe you're going to be the same way. Because there's some things to be done. There's some blessings to be poured out. There's some channels that God needs for the distribution of the things of heaven in this time. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Next time when you pray, put these principles to action. Come with fervency. And if you don't have fervency about what you're praying for, you want to question if you really should be praying it. Lord, give me a nice weather today. Maybe there is maybe you're having an outdoor meeting and you need a good weather. But then you'll be praying it fervently. Are you with me? But put it into action. Bring kingdom of God into everything. Because if it's not eternal, it's not going to last. And it's not going to make any difference 100 years from today. So we want everything to be linked to the kingdom. Everything you have should be linked to the kingdom. Amen? God will bless you. And God will give you an abundance. But everything, it should be linked to the kingdom. You shouldn't have some side business going on that's just for some other reason. Amen. I mean, you can have a side business, but make sure it's linked to the kingdom as well. You can have 10 businesses, whatever the Lord leads you to do. But make sure all of them are linked to the kingdom. Amen. That you're not just doing things because there was an opportunity. You're not just doing things because you made it up. But you want everything in your life to be producing good fruit. Amen. Because there's business people here. There's people who are working business in that realm. And it's very necessary. And Lord's going to show you things. Open doors. Jesus said, if you knock, it shall be open to you. Amen. There's people in the government or those who will operate in that realm. We need some righteous people in the government who are full of the Holy Ghost. Because when you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're a radical believer, you're not going to be bought. How many of you think that our country would be better if the people who represented would be in that place that they could not be bought? and they could not be manipulated because they've established certain principles and rules and guidelines in their life that no matter what happens, they're always going to serve the what's best for the people and not what's best for them. Amen. 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 And then there's a couple of preachers here. You don't even know it fully yet, but God's going to raise you up to be a preacher. There's a man and woman that God's going to set ablaze, and you're going to go to the nations. Amen. Amen. I would like to suggest that let's take Finland first. Yeah. Amen. So we don't just send people all over the world and then we forget Finland. Yeah. But that we would cover every county, every region, every city, from the top to the bottom. Some of you would like to be in the north. That would just be joyful to you. So maybe you can cover some land. There's a lot of land and very few people, so it needs a special kind of person to do that. And then, of course, the cities where there's more people. Some of you like the city. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
There's some pastors here who God's going to raise up to be pastors. Amen. But whatever the assignment is, this is the time to pray and time to see those things birth in our spirit. Amen. Only the Word of God is going to sustain you in this hour. You have got to get the Word in you, and you have to be full of the Holy Ghost.
You're on the winner's side.
Mutta totuus on se, että sinä olet voittajan
puolella. Greater one lives on the inside.
Suurempi on hän, joka asuu sinussa.